I mean, how could you not love them instantly? And they didn't even have probably their best, not probably their best offensive kid.
I was like, in the alternate universe, I said, Caleb Sean is watching this one. Guys, we're fine.
They've done this before. They did this, I mean, they've done it to great teams before. So it's just like, I don't even know if that's really a big win for him.
He is a leader on defense. I mean, this kid has a motor, man. I mean, you can just tell he gets into the game and he starts to defend and everybody just kind of rallies behind him. He's just, he's their leader. Like, he's everything for them.
He's him.
He's him. If you don't love that win, you don't love Arizona small ball. I mean, I don't care what level you're on. That performance is one that's going to go on the record books. What is up, Arizona high school basketball fanatics? Welcome back to the Arizona Small Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I am joined today by Coach Crooms out of Santan Charter. They ended their season with a record of 29-3. They were undefeated in their region, and most importantly, they're able to bring home the first AIA state title in Roadrunner history. Coach, it's been a really long time coming, it feels like, but thank you so much for hopping on the podcast today.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I appreciate you guys having me on.
So there was a couple times, actually, where, you know, you tweeted at us to be on the podcast. And, you know, there was a couple times where we almost had you on right when you said that. I don't know if you remember what I'm talking about.
I do. There were definitely a few times where I want to say one was earlier this year after the Highland Prep game. I tweeted at you guys at halftime, too.
I was going to ask you, like, did you tweet that out at halftime? And I think you said, just have me on the podcast after the game. And I looked at the time and I'm like, dude, is this guy tweeting this out at halftime? That's crazy.
100%. I had to. Because I remember, I want to say Reyes said we were going to take the L by 5, despite no Presley. So, you know, when I looked at the, as I walked into the locker room, I picked up my phone and I was like, hey, watch this. And my assistant coach, and he starts dying.
Hey, I love it. You know, I called Reyes and I was like, hey, should we? And he was like, no, let's just wait. And I was like, all right. That's awesome, man. You know, that's why I say I feel like it's been a long time coming. And I want to give you a huge shout out because you've kept us updated on everything Santan Charter. And I freaking loved it, man. I felt like I was kind of going along the season with you guys because of how much you guys were tagging us in your stuff and you know, helping us just know about what's going on with your kids, man. It's been great.
Oh, yeah. No, sure. Like I said, we're just trying to bring light to the small ball and just what we're doing. I think we're doing some really good things and have some really good players that can go past high school and continue to play different levels. So it's cool to have everybody see that from beginning of the season, summer ball, fall ball, like kind of just all that stuff. And then for us to do what we did through the year and then have the year we did and win championships. So, you know, it's definitely cool.
So they say this, that championships are won or lost in the summertime. Right. So last summer and really the ending of last season, you guys come off of a disappointing loss in the Elite Eight. Take me to your team's mentality this summer, man. You guys are my favorite team to watch. I will publicly say that, although I think that's no secret. Right. Reyes may have been a hater, but I was not a hater. And, you know, you guys helped me win a lot of different bets throughout the season. Take me to your team's mentality this summer. And how you kind of helped prepare them for a state title run this season. You know, like, how did you take your kids from the disappointment of last season and the frustration to the hope of, you know, what's ahead for this championship season run that you guys had?
I want to say it really did start in that room after the game. I remember I was frustrated. Like, I came in there, I had my choice words, but then we kind of sat there. We sat there and I said, sit quietly. Right, because I knew everybody was returning except for one senior, maybe.
Sure.
And I said, sit quietly and listen. Right. So we sat there for about 5 minutes and watched it and listen down the hallway. Highlands beat on the wall, celebrate, say what they had to say. And I told them, we'll be back in this same exact spot next year. It's going to be a whole different thing, but that starts now. So, I mean, we have basketball class. So, I'm thinking everybody's going to want to take a little time off. We get back to basketball class in the morning, everybody's like, let's go. We're training. They're playing fives. They're working. They start to hit the weight room. So at that point, I knew I had some freshmen. I told you, I had some freshmen that were coming in.
Hey, you did tell me, and you were not lying.
I said, I had some freshmen coming in that were going to be next level, and it was going to be an exciting thing. And a lot of those guys were, they'd been there since middle school, so there's actually a few more of them that were supposed to come that didn't end up coming, but it's okay. They had success where they went. So from that point on, it was like, hey, let's put the best summer schedule together. Win or lose, I think that our challenge next year isn't going to be other teams, and that's no disrespect. I thought the challenge was really going to be us, right?
Right.
'Cause I knew that we had the talent. We were good enough basketball players. I would put them in position to win a game, but we had to overcome just any mental shortcoming. So, I mean, we went after it. We played in the Ironwood League. I think our first game out the gate was Valley Christian. And I mean, it was a good game. We were missing Z and Kylan. So, it was still a good game, but it was like one of the ones that kind of introduced our freshmen, you know, into the scene. But then we got to see Ironwood. We got to see some good 3A teams and some good just different programs throughout the summer.
Right.
And then went and kind of chased some of the bigger schools, right? Because we always want them on the schedule during the year. Nobody wants to play us. So we got to them. So, and it just kind of was what it was. We were like, if we lose these games, like, it doesn't hurt us, but I don't think we were ever walking in the gym expecting to lose any of those games. So just kind of getting to compete against all those bigger schools. And our end goal of the summer was the Section 7. So not getting the actual invite and have to do a play-in was like, we were like, man, we just went 27-3. Like, yeah, we lost that game. But
yeah, so but that doesn't discredit the incredible season you guys had. I feel what you're saying, man.
Yeah. So it was frustrating to have that, but it was like, all right, whatever, let's go prove ourselves. So we kept rolling through that and got some big wins, played against some great teams. I mean, took the L to O'Dowd, I believe, who had a great year out in California. So one of the bigger schools that has good teams all the time. So it was just a great summer because I want to say we went over the summer. I think our record was something like 23-3.
Dang,
so we played a lot of games in a short period of time, but I mean, yeah, it was a great summer and they worked. They came in. I didn't have to ask anybody to get to practice. I didn't have to worry about it. They were there and they were ready to go. And they were together. They started kind of that journey and connectedness as a team in the summer. So it was just great to see. And then having to do it pretty much all summer with two of your first team returners in Kylan and Z, because Z was hurt the entire summer.
Yeah.
And Kylan was too, pretty much. So, yeah, kind of kick-started our season for us.
Well, and I think it's so underrated as a coach when you allow your players to just sit in the moment and feel it. Right? Like I've been a part of coaching staffs where, you know, they lose a game or like they lose a huge game in the playoffs or something. And it's just kind of like, all right, we're going to move on and just be done. But for you to just have them sit there and internalize everything that happened, I think that's part of the reason, if not the majority of the reason, as to why they're in basketball class that very next day, as to why they are so hungry and have the right mentality in the summer, right? That they approach Section 7 in that way and have so much success. I just think it's so underrated and special to let your kids experience, whether it's the highs or whether it's like the lowest of lows, man. And I can see how that really helped your group moving forward.
Yeah, no, it definitely did. Like I said, it provided them with the hunger to want to get back. And I mean, Coach Hill told me after the game, he was like, hey, I'm done living rent free in your head. And I was like, you were there for a minute. So, you know, and all the boys, you know, everybody had that game circled, even the boys who weren't there. had the game circled, and just that was kind of a mark that we set too. There were different goals throughout the season, but you know, after, like you said, sitting there quietly and listening and being frustrated and understand there's nothing you can do about it now.
Yep.
But when that moment strikes again, you're going to sit back and know I'm not going through this again. So they were just ready to go. And, you know, it was kind of perfect. It was perfect for them.
So you talked about some of those players being out, like Kai and Z. And, you know, also mentioning Kai, like, huge shout-outs to Kyrona, man, for always doing the Instagram lives of the game, dude. Like, that is my favorite because I can always watch every single Santan Charter game.
Oh, yeah. No, you probably hear some stuff you don't want to hear every now and then.
Oh,
but
man, you know what? I was watching with the coach one time, and we were watching. It was when you guys were playing against Gilbert Christian. We were watching on YouTube. And then I stopped, and I was like, what am I doing watching on YouTube? And I went to the Instagram Live, and I was like, this is the one you want to watch. And you hear everybody saying stuff, and I'm like, that's what I want, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, nah, it's funny. I've been watching them, or go back and watch them, and I'll text her after and be like, hey, you might want to mute this next game. What you said was hilarious. And she's like, yeah, my bad, my bad. So, it's always cool that she does that, because we get a chance to go back and watch some of those and look at some of the different things from just different angles. You know, we have cameras set up a few different places, and that's one that we get to use all the time. So it's always nice that she's there and present and helping us out doing that.
Mm. So, again, you talk about Z and Kai being out. You know, those are two big-time returners. And, like, some of those younger kids stepping up. You told me that you had some good freshmen coming in and that they were going to be tough. But, like, and so I know that you knew, but, like, did you know that Peyton was going to be Peyton? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know that there's some, like, oh, this kid's got some stuff, but, like, did you anticipate him having as massive of a freshman season as he did?
Yeah, honestly, if I'm being real, I was expecting him to have a game or two probably put up 50.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
It was honestly expected. Peyton has been, I've coached Peyton since he's like 9 years old. So, always been smallest guy on the court, but the most underrated until you've seen him play one game and then it's like, oh God, who's guarding him? What are we doing with this guy? So, I kind of knew, like, honestly, not even being, you know, cocky, but he does a great job at, like, kind of just, like, staying low-key, and he won't be like, oh, I'm this or I'm that. Like, obviously, there's always videos of him posted. He puts in the work. He does all that stuff. But, like, I said it the other day on one of my posts, oh, I'll talk for you, because he doesn't do it a lot. And, like, for me, it's he's still always continuously doubted and counted out. So every time he proves somebody wrong, he proves somebody wrong. So it was just great to see him get to the high school level and put on a show, whether we were, you know, small ball teams. I think his coming out party in high school was against Perry. Yeah, we lost the game, but he gave one of the best guards in, you know, one of the best guards who is one of our guards, 25, you know. So, you know, it was a phenomenal year for him, and I think he's going to continue to build on it. Because he's not one that gets complacent. He always thinks, man, I had 25 and 5 this game. Next game, I'm going to have 30 and 7. So it's one that I'm going to be better every single time. So I think it's going to be fun to kind of grow up with him through high school.
What's kind of crazy about him, is, and me and Ray have talked about this on the podcast and behind closed doors, is that I can't envision how he gets better. Like, I know that he will get better. You know what I'm saying? Because he's only a freshman, but, like, I just don't – he's tough right now, man. This is a kid who – I mean, his potential, I don't even know if there's a limit on it, you know. I mean, he's just going to continue to get better, like you said. And, you know, he is up for the Viral Heap Award, and it's the most outstanding player in Arizona for the small ball. And one of the things in calling, because I've called a lot of coaches and asked about Peyton – I loved almost every single one of them said the kid's a silent assassin, man. He just kills you, and he doesn't say anything. He doesn't really – he doesn't like kind of what you're saying. He doesn't really, like, build himself up. He just shows up. He takes care of business. My college coach used to say it like this, but – he shows up to work every day with his hard hat on and his lunchbox, and he just goes to work, and then he's done, and he leaves. You know, and it's special to watch him.
Yeah, it's definitely something that he's always done. And I used to be like, man, is this kid ever going to play with any emotion? And he doesn't really need to. Like, he'll have emotion. Like, you know, sometimes he'll get hyped. You'll see a smile, maybe clap his hands, but you don't ever see him talking to the other team. You don't even see him. You don't see taunting the other team. I mean, you make as many threes as he makes, you don't have to hold up the 3-point sign. I mean, the refs are doing it for you. So it's like, it's one of those things where, you know, he's just a good kid, man. He plays hard, and, you know, I think as he continues to play, his maturity is going to help take him to the next level. That's probably the next big step for him, is maturity and just, you know, being engaged and being involved in every play on both sides of the ball. So I think that's what I'm looking forward to when we say, like, how does he get better? That's it. You know, just being engaged and present in every play. So
sure. Tell me about the rest of the kids on your team. Like, who are some of your biggest leaders? You know, I was laughing when I saw you on that AZ Preps, you know, live show, and I sent you a message. Like, tell them how you really feel, coach, you know. But, you know, you had two of your leaders on there. One of them was Peyton. Another one was Bo Burns, who I've watched play for a real long time. Love his game. But you guys are just loaded with leadership, with kids who exude kind of the culture that you bring, whether they're playing or whether it's Johnstead, who wasn't even able to play this season, but who's still with you guys every step of the way, you know? So talk about that a little bit, man.
Yeah, so that one was tough for us. You know, Logan had a lot of stuff going on in his life that kind of took him away from basketball for a year when he was with us, him and his brothers. And his dad passed away. And, you know, they had to really take care of the family. They moved to New Mexico, like, didn't do anything for a while. So, you know, we petitioned for his year back. We thought he was going to get his year back. You know, he's working and staying there. And when the AI did the ruling, obviously they didn't give it back. So it was huge for him, like a leadership role, because he was a captain the year before.
Sure.
He really picked up his voice in the locker room over the summer with us. And he showed even more leadership and resiliency, actually, by, you know, getting that news and saying, all right, well, I'm not leaving. You know, I'm not going to clam up and, you know, woe is me and everybody feel sorry for me. It was opposite. You know, it was like, well, I still want to go play college basketball. So
sure.
I'm going to stay in shape. I'm going to support my team. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be a leader. I'm going to talk. I'm going to make sure my brother's here. I'm going to make sure somebody needs a ride there at practice. You know, he was a player coach. It was crazy, but because he's another one that I've known since he was a younger guy. I wouldn't say little guy, because he's always a bigger kid. So, you know, he's always a pretty tall kid. So it was his leadership really helped us. And he was best friends with Bo. So where Logan couldn't be on the court and really talk and kind of rally the guys, he kind of told Bo, like, you know, coach is asking us. You know, this is something I told him early in the year. It's like, and I've heard you guys actually say it, it's like, the coaches, we can get you there, right? But players win championships. Like, yep. You have to go play, right? So a lot of teams, a lot of people will be like, oh, yeah, well-coached team. Like, player-led teams win championships. And it's just
agree more. I love that.
So that was kind of what we preached the entire year. Like, we had practice where I'm like, I'm begging. Like, I need somebody to be that leader. And I think Logan just continued to tell Bo, like, you're a senior, you've been here, they'll respect you. They don't care. Like, nobody cares if you put up this amount of points, do this, do that. Win. You know, win, and they'll listen. So Bo kind of took that to heart, and Bo really became that leader for us. Because if you look at his stats, right?
Right, they don't jump off the page.
Be like, oh, no, no. And the crazy thing is, like, Bo can really play.
Mm-hmm.
So I know people probably look like, how is this guy starting over, you know, Will or Christo or the other Johnstead? Like, we have guys, right? But he was a guy that he was the same guy every single day, right? And he didn't need to score. He didn't need to assist on the play. A hockey assist was good enough for him, right? Box out, rebound. He didn't need the stats. He just always said he wanted to win. Like, being a teacher up there at school, in one of the other coaches' classes, somebody asked him, "Bo, why don't you shoot the ball more?" And Bo was like, "Because I want to win," right? So, you know, for me, I was like, me and Rob talked about it. We said, "Hey, we're winning the championship." And that was like the beginning of January. So it was like at that point, well, we knew we have our leader and we're locked in. So like Bo, Logan, they were crucial. They were crucial to what we did on the court. And like I said, I mean, there wasn't much, there wasn't many stats, but they came up big, even from Bo taking a charge in the Phoenix Christian game. I want to say in the semi and the championship, he had 8 in both games and some crucial plays. So, I mean, when his number was called, he did what he's supposed to do. So,
and it's funny, like, you even saying that, like him having 8, that doesn't probably seem like a lot to a lot of our listeners, but I mean, that literally doubles his average of what he's averaging. So if you even just look at it, I mean, you talk about a kid who's a leader off the court, on the court, and when his number is called, he's doubling his average like that. You know, it's really, really impressive. That was one of my favorite things in watching you guys all season, because you guys were just loaded with kids and it seemed like everyone was just kind of working together so well. And I think what you said just hits the nail on the head every time I watched you guys, and particularly against Rancho, that your team was led obviously by you guys, but you had so many players that were leading the charge for you guys. And when it counted most, they were able to step forward. You know, you already kind of mentioned this, but what was a game that you guys had circled on the schedule that you could not wait for all season long? You mentioned Highland Prep. You know, that's kind of a clear one. Was that the clear one, or was there another one that was kind of on there as well?
It was definitely the Highland Prep. I mean, we wanted ALA, right? Because there was some words said back and forth. I want to say it was in the comments section of one of the posts that you guys have posted. And we have a group chat with my boys. And as soon as I saw the comment, I texted in the group chat, "Do not engage." And then before I looked up, somebody wrote back, "Too late." And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Hey man, we've had a couple coaches being like, "You guys, when you post something, like, you don't ever antagonize anything, but then like them sometimes the comments and the kids just start going crazy," and it's like we just sit back like, "Oh my gosh."
Yeah, and it was one of those. So it was like, I want to say it was preseason, and it was when some of the rankings were coming out, and I saw the comment and I'm like, this is a bad one because you guys are friends. And he said this, and then it's like, you're going to have to see us. And when you see us, it's not going to be the best thing. Because the boys were literally like, I'm guarding him. I'm just like, oh, okay. So we wanted that game, but there was the Rancho game, too. We wanted that game, too. You know, obviously we would have loved it if Tommy was there. But, you know, he made a great move for himself and had a great season over there at Pinnacle. So. Sure.
Oh, do you mean Phoenix Christian, not Rancho?
No, not Rancho. I meant not Rancho, Phoenix Christian.
Yeah.
Phoenix Christian. So even with that, you know, after the move, I saw, I don't know who it is, but somebody wrote on there, you know, "They're still the best. Highland's the only competition. Like, you know, nobody else can play with them." So I'm like, all right, well, I guess we'll be waiting for that one too. So when we saw that they were on our side, we were like, oh, this is perfect. And we were hyped up for the game. I mean, it was a difficult game to play. We did. Bryce and Malachi are probably two most athletic kids in the 2A, maybe in 3A. So probably in the state, they're two of the most athletic kids out there. So they did a good job protecting the rim. I mean, we couldn't hit a shot to save our lives outside of Z. He went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of showed who he is, if people forgot. But we definitely had that game circled too, because they talked a little bit, you know, they said a little bit, and we wanted that game. So, you know, that was probably our two, and we wanted, like I said, we wanted the ALA one, but it just didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. So all those games make sense, but we got to talk about Perry, man. I mean, You guys played against the Open champions, right? Now we know this at the end of the season, but you played them midway through the season, and I was so excited to see you guys matched up against them. They end up winning 82-53 in that game, but I watched that whole game, and you guys were within, I think it was like 5 points at halftime. And, I mean, you guys were competing. There was no fear at all. And, I mean, I loved it, man. And I don't know what it was like being a part of that game and, you know, having your kids compete against someone like Koa Pete. I've made jokes on the podcast, like, I don't know who he is. I do know who he is. But, you know, in comparison to the small ball kids, I don't think he's as important. But what was that like, man, competing against such a great team and at that point in the season?
It was perfect for us. It was like, for me, it was a great barometer. Like, we wanted to see where we were at, and I wanted to see what kind of team I had, right? So a lot of teams would be like, oh, a lot of kids would be like, this is this guy and this and that. So a lot of teams would come out there and lay down or expect to lose. Like, we went in there. When I tell you, we did not expect to lose. Like, the boys had no, like, oh, yeah, we're going to, if we stay within 10, like, that's a great day. Like, they were pissed. Mm-hmm. Right, that we lost the game by how we did. They were upset that we lost the game. So we went in there, you know, obviously with the game plan, it was like, hey, we're going to limit Koa and try to let the other guys shoot. Because, you know, we watched them the prior two games, and we know the other two could shoot the ball, but right, they just weren't shooting good that weekend. So our game plan was like, you know, hey, double down on Koa, make him kick. And he did it, and the other guys just hit shots. So it was, I want to say it was 8 points at half. It should have went to 6. You know, Z got hacked by Koa going in for layup toward to end the half. But, you know, I think a lot of some of the guys are amazed by some great blocks or different things that they see. He blocked the shot and ran him over after. So, you know, I was furious. But the end of the day, like, I go back and look at it, and I'm like, they played their starting unit until about 5 minutes left in the game, right? At no point did they feel like, hey, this game is in the bag, that we're going, that, you know, I could pull my starters. I could pull Koa off the floor for more than 2 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. He was on the court up until the game kind of got out of hand, and both teams said, all right, we're clued the bench as well. But, you know, they took it serious, right? They watched the two games, I want to say it was the Monarch event that we were in over at the college. They were, you know, everybody was excited for that game because they're like, who are these, you know, who's this small 2A school that's coming out here and beating Peoria and beating Mountain Point like this? Like, we don't want to see Pinnacle and Perry. We want to see Perry and Santan, which is huge. Like, to have people in the gym, like, and it was a pretty packed out gym too.
Yep.
So for us to have that opportunity so early in the year, and then the boys show up to compete and play, it was perfect. And at the end of the day, I know there's only so much you can do. If they don't shoot the ball like that, you know, it's a different game. But, you know, give and take is kind of a game of opportunity in some cases. And, you know, they made their shot. They made their shot. So it was great for us. And like I said, I think it kind of gave us a point for me to say, like, yeah, we're going to be a hard team to beat. Right, because, like, I knew who I had at that point. I knew I had some dogs, and it was just going to be a fun season.
And I think, too, one of the things that I've gauged some of my best teams that, oh, I know I have a really good team when there's no fear. Right. And I've coached teams that are very talented, and they have the ability to do stuff, but there's some fear in them. And I've coached other teams that aren't as talented, but, man, they got zero fear. You had both, right? You had zero fear, and you had the talent. You know, I said on a previous podcast, like midway through the year, and it's actually one of my favorite things I ever said about your squad because I think it's so true, but it seems like you went to the basketball gods and you said, give me a team that can play Rez-style basketball, that can slow it down and play in the half court and run great sets, that can be so reckless as to shoot a step-back three from the red line but also come into the half court and just run an awesome set, kill clock, and get like a wide-open layup. How do you balance that? Because I'm not even asking as someone who is covering, I'm asking now as a coach, because the way that you, the product that you put out is kind of like my dream product of a team.
Honestly, it's from years of doing both, right? From years of playing club myself, then playing high school and playing college basketball, and understanding, like, you know, maybe we can go play pickup here, but, you know, a lot of the greatest players that I knew growing up didn't end up making it or couldn't play in college because they couldn't play with structure, right? Sure. Those lights are a little different where you have to play under structure. And me being a point guard, it was like, all right, well, I kind of understand the flow of the game and what you're supposed to do. And some games, it's like, hey, I'm going to let you go. No, go ahead. You're too talented. They can't really stay with you. But then you have some teams who are pretty disciplined that it's like, all right, let's play basketball. Like, if you guys want to do that, we can do that too. So I think, I mean, playing and coaching in the club world for so long, I kind of did the opposite, where a lot of teams want to run and gun and just roll the ball out with club, right?
Right.
I run my club more like a high school program, to where we're playing and you're going to have to play us in the half court, right? We can play in the full court, but you're going to have to play us in the half court. And then when you get to high school, so many high school coaches aren't involved on that side of coaching. They're not with club. And so now it's like, all right, we can bring that style in here and get the best of both worlds, because we can, like you said, we can slow it down. Like a lot of people thought early on that these guys don't run anything. Like, we have an extensive playbook. We have a lot of plays.
Sure.
But there's no need to call them if you can't stick them. If you can't stay in front of us, then, I mean, I'm just going to call motion wide and tell my boys to go dance, right?
Yep.
And they're going to get to the basket and do what they need to do. So, I mean, just kind of years of just doing both at such a high level, and the kids understanding they have freedom to be who they are on the court and, you know, have no fear as they're playing, and just feel like they have no leash. You know, I talk to a lot of my boys, just even a lot of coaches, about, like, you know, players playing with a leash on versus them having the front yard to play in, right? Like, you know, you think about it, like, I tell people this all the time too. I heard it from Gilbert Arenas, right? But it kind of is like,
dude, I was just thinking about that, dude. I love you just said that. I'm just thinking about that whole time.
Yeah, it opened my mind up. I heard it years ago when he said it, but he was just like, you know, what's more intimidating, if you walked up to somebody's front door and a dog was leashed up by a tree, right? But, you know, it was bound and they couldn't get there, or you walk to somebody's and there's a gate around it and the dog is roaming free in that front yard.
Mm-hmm.
Are you know, what's more intimidating? So he's like, you got to let players roam, right? Set a boundary, but let them roam, let them do what they want to do. So that's always kind of been my philosophy. That's why you see 1-5 handle the ball on my team. 1-5 shoot the ball. Like, we go do everything, because, I mean, I want you to be yourself, do the stuff you practice, but at the end of the day, there's a boundary, and those boundaries, know your play, be in help defense, like, do the stuff that we've set. Also, you know, be free and explore your game. So, yeah, it's kind of how we built what we do.
I thought you did a masterful job of balancing that, because it's difficult, right? Like, I played for some coaches who, you know, a player came in and they'd take a bad shot, or they would maybe, you know, turn the ball over, or they maybe would be trying to run a set. But there's, you know, I was a point guard too, and there's times where you might be running a set, but it doesn't make sense to run the set because the defense is giving you something else. And, you know, the player goes and takes that read and misses the shot. They get pulled off and get chewed out. And I always hated that, because there's an element where you've got to feel free. And a player that is free is dangerous. And, I mean, dangerous, I mean, I'm just saying, bro, if I'm playing against you guys and Peyton's coming down the court, I'm like, I don't even know, like, what do you do, right? I mean, there's so many different options that you can do out of that. So I thought you did a masterful job of balancing that. And it seemed like something that exudes from your team is passion. And it just seemed like they were having fun while they played too.
Yeah, for sure. for sure. They definitely were. That's something we harped on too, is, you know, being excited for your teammate, because, you know, everybody wants that shine. Everybody wants the light on them. But, you know, if somebody else is getting that light and if somebody else is playing well, if you're excited for them, then when it's your turn, you know, everybody's going to be excited for you. And I think, like, when I look at stuff like that and just see how everybody celebrated each other, prime example was the Rancho game, right? The Phoenix Christian game. Mm-hmm. Rancho game, too. But Peyton struggled in that Phoenix Christian game, right? But Z did not. you know.
Right.
Z really came on and, like, put on a show, like, scoring the ball from everywhere on the court, defending, and the excitement that everybody had for him, you know, after the game, like they were in there, you know, chanting their teammate on. And it was just something that, again, it had been built for a while, but it was just cool to see. And like I said, that's a championship team, you know, when you could be happy for somebody when you're not playing your best game. I mean, you're part of something special.
And also having role players, it's crazy to talk about Z as a role player, but having role players that can step up. And, you know, in order to win a championship, like, your stars have to be stars, but, you know, there has to be one, maybe two role players that also have to play like a star at least one time, right? And
yeah.
And I think that's special that you guys had that. And talking about the playoffs, Coach, you know, I know that you've heard us put each other on the hot seat time and time again. I'm going to put you on the hot seat right now, okay? So let me play this thing here. Okay, I'm going to say an opponent in the playoffs that you faced, and I just want you to say the first word that comes to your mind, okay?
All right.
Okay, start off with your first matchup. Kingman.
Scrappy.
Scrappy. I thought you said crappy at first. I was like, oh, my God.
Nah.
I'm like, all right, I didn't know we were coming in like that. Okay. It's a scrappy group of kids. Is after watching them a couple times, I mean, it's a group that plays really, really hard.
Yeah.
Okay, next one.
Yeah, no, they did. They were fun to play again.
Mm-hmm. So you get that win, 84-44. Next one, Horizon Honors.
Fun? That's all I can really think about. I would say show, like, because I feel like that's when, you know, nothing against them, but we just put on a show that day. You know, it was kind of one of those things for the crowd. It was, I don't know, it was Peyton got hot, Z, Kylan, everybody just played free, and I don't know the last time somebody put up 100 points in that place in a quarterfinal game. So
I was just about to say that score spread, I can't remember the last time that something like that happened. You know, it was an impressive performance.
Yeah. So, you know, no disrespect. I thought they did a great job getting there, but that's kind of all I could think about was, yeah, that was a show.
Right. Well, we were talking about, I think it was on Patreon, but we were breaking down the next rounds. And while we were doing it, you guys were playing Horizon Honors. And I saw that the game was on, and I like mid-conversation, I was like, all right, like, let me check it out, you know? So I pulled it up, and Reyes was like, hey, what's the score? And we had just been talking, like, what you said, like, you know, Coach Henderson's done awesome at Horizon Honors, which he has, you know? And they had a tremendous season. And then I forget what it was when I saw it, but it was like, it was bad. And I was like, oh, man, all right, like, let's move on from that, you know? But... You know, and that sometimes it happens, you know, when you guys have a team that's so dominant. Horizon Honors was a great team and they did a great job, but there's just, you know, you guys were just better, and that's like the only key to the game, right? So
Yeah.
Okay, so next up is Phoenix Christian.
Athletic.
I think underrated athletic. I think when people saw that Tommy Randolph left, they thought that they weren't as athletic, but man, they're still ridiculous.
Yeah, they had, I can't remember what number what he was. It was a third guy who had like a little mini afro. He was really athletic too. He got a few block shots that I didn't expect. You know, I didn't think he was going to get off the ground as quick as he did. So I think, I mean, outside of Perry, they're the most athletic team that we played all year. I think they did a good job just, you know, protecting the rim. And then, you know, I heard you guys talking about Malachi a little bit. I had to give Malachi his flowers because he defensively being able to guard a point guard like Peyton and then being able to go challenge another athlete at the rim like Jace. I mean, there's only the only other person out there that does that that I've seen in a 2A do that at such a high level is Jace himself, right? So
sure.
It was unique to see. So it was cool to be able to play against an athletic group like that and get a challenge and kind of settle in and be ready for the next day.
Okay, so speaking of the next day, Rancho Solano.
Discipline.
Gosh, I know, man. I thought they were such a disciplined group.
Yeah, they were. They did a good job. They did a good job early on running their set and taking advantage of the gambling and all the stuff we did defensively, incorrect, not being in help, trying to shoot screens and thinking like, oh, they're going to throw that first pass. Like the kid Miller, I think, he, what, 15 in the first half?
Man, he went off in that first half. He was hot. Yeah.
Four threes, like, and they were open. You know, a lot of their shots, they shot open because we gambled and we thought, they're just going to give us this pass in the half court. And they did a good job setting screens and just kind of playing strong and running their sets how they wanted to run their sets. So, and we let them do that comfortably because I feel like, you know, we thought like, we're more athletic than this team, so. It doesn't matter what they run. We'll meet them at the rim, right? We'll stop them. We'll get this steal.
Right.
And it wasn't until we decided to play with some urgency at the end of the game, like our back was against the wall, right? They decided to take it up another notch. Obviously, the press did that. But even once we got out of that press, some things that we talked about in halftime was, you know, if I'm guarding a shooter, you chase him off the tip. You don't try to jump through the screen.
Right.
You chase that hit, make him put the ball down. And that's something that I think, talking about discipline on their side, we had discipline in that second half because everything I said to them at halftime, they came out and executed, and they did. So, yeah, that was a game with discipline right there.
Yeah, well, and I was going to go to that next, right? Rancho has this massive second quarter. They outscore you guys 20-9, and they head into the locker room. You guys are down by double digits, which I don't think ever happened. No, I know that never happened against a small ball team or maybe against any other team, right? Even Perry, because you weren't leading by them or any of those other teams. So obviously you talk about some of the details, but what do you tell your team at halftime? Like, what's your speech, dude? Like, because, you know, you've made it all the way here. You've been dominant. And now this team is just, I mean, they're playing really well. What do you tell them at halftime in the locker room? What's the vibe like even, you know?
So for me, you know, for them, they were antsy. They weren't pointing fingers. They were more confused as I walked in the locker room. For me, I was fine. Like, I was upset, right, that we were down because we weren't playing the way we should have played. But not that, this team is so much better than us. Like, I knew what they were going to do. So as I walked past the president of my school, as I walked past Dr. Sipple, he's like, we got this one, coach. I said, we're going to win by 15. I looked him dead in his face. I said, we're going to win by 15. And he says, all right, sure we are. All right, I believe you. So I walk into the locker room and, you know, I have some choice words. They're nice, you know. But no, I said some things to them and just kind of let them know, like, we worked all year for this. Like, if you don't win, like, this isn't looked at as a season as people are like, oh, they had a great run. They're such a good team. It's a, I told you so, right? This team, like, it's kind of a failure of a year. And I know nobody wants to go through that. You know, I reminded them of sitting in that room last year. You know, I reminded Bo, I reminded Kylan, Z, Christo, Will, Jace was actually there. So our Jared, you know, I reminded them all of what that felt like. And after I got through that and kind of gave them the emotional like kick, it was time to plan. So after we went through that, it was, all right, so as we're looking at this, they're getting these shots, like I said, because you guys are trying to shoot gaps. Chase them off their spot. Cut them off. Put your hands up. Get the rebound, right? You guys got to – we got to win every 50-50 ball, right? Any ball that comes up, you need to be diving on the ground, and you need to get there, right? And they came out of the half. I want to say they came out of the half, what, hit a three, got two free throws. So they go up 15. Then we hit a mid-range, and then Peyton gets the and-one three. And from there, we just go nuts, right?
Yep. You end up outscoring them. You outscored them 24-7 in the third quarter.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody told me that – I saw somebody on some paper article that from the 5:36 mark to the end of the game, we went on a 44-14 run.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
That's unbelievable. But speaks to the ability that your group has, you know, and not just the, obviously, the leadership and stuff, but you have the talent and the ability to go with that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, I tell people, I think we scored so well that our defense was truly underrated, right? Mm. I think a lot of people were like, oh, yeah, like, you know, we could score on them and this and that. And it's like, majority of the games that we played, people, the game was, teams had maybe 30 points going into the fourth quarter, and then we cleared the bench, you know, midway through the third.
Sure.
So, and it's not to say that our bench guys didn't play well, but we picked up some fouls that we shouldn't and different things like that. So that's what we really kind of hung our hat on, was we defended, right? Because we defended so well that it led to games where we put up 123 points. Like, we throw on the diamond press, it creates some chaos, right? It gets pretty ugly in the gym. And especially we see one turnover, it gets pretty bad pretty quick. And we did that in a lot of cases, and the boys kind of capitalized. And I told Rob, you know, I'm like, hey, people are lucky that this isn't a high school gym, because it was 44-14. If we're in a high school gym and not that arena, it could have been 60-70. Like, they see that, because they see that ball going at a different rate. You know, it's a little harder to shoot in an arena like that. But, it was special to see everybody just kind of hit that gas and not let up. You know, it was multiple guys during the run, too. So it wasn't just like, you weren't just seeing Peyton put the ball in the basket. Peyton put the ball in the basket. Z, then Will, then Christo, then Jace. Tylen comes back off the bench, puts the ball in the basket. Bo. Yep. So it turned into a party really quick. It turned into a party.
So speaking to your defense, I'm just looking at some of these scores that you've had, right? These are just how much you've allowed your opponents to score. 41 points, 43 points, 21 points, 29 points, 40 points, 61 points, 56 points, 56 points, 36 points, 32 points, 40. I mean, that's ridiculous, you know? You look at how defensively minded you guys were, you know, I agree with that. Oh my gosh, is that 79-0? Oh shoot. Oh my gosh, dude, I'm just like going through this stuff. We don't need to say who that was, but oh man, I think we're probably guilty of that, of hyping up your offense more than your defense, but that was definitely something that you guys hung your hat on.
Yeah, no, it definitely was. Because it was something like, one thing again that I told them all the time was control the controllables. Right. Mm. And defense is a controllable. Like, I can't control if we shoot all the threes or layups and the ball goes in the basket, but you can control keeping somebody in front of you. You can control being help side, control rebounding, right? You can control your effort. So that's something that we talked about. And then knowing that we had, you know, kids coming off our bench that could have potentially been the best players at any other school in the 2A, people knew that the defensive leash on our team was shorter, right? Not the offense was, you know, like I told you, that one was go ahead, but the defensive side of the ball, if you don't want to defend, cool. Cause I know if I bring Will, right, if I bring Christo, if I bring Jared, they're going to go defend at a very high level. So that's one of the things that, you know, people knew that's what I'll get pulled for. So it was like, all right, well, let me, you know, put my foot on the gas be ready to defend, and everything else will fall into place.
You know, you're talking about all your players and stuff. They could go to another school and start and probably be the guy, and I agree with you. Let me just say, if I transport myself to your locker room and I'm standing in front of your players, maybe at the gym, right, that's better, and I'm standing in front of your players and I say, who's the best kid here? How many answers am I going to get and saying, it's me?
Oh, everybody's raising their hand and then they're trying to play one-on-one after. It's not, and then if coaches are in the locker room, I might raise my hand. Coach Mike is definitely raising his hand to play. So, you know, it's an ongoing competition.
But that's what makes such a special run, and that's what makes for the best teams when you have that competitiveness in practice, right? So like I said before, it's the first AIA state title in Santan Charter history. You've kind of been a part of history yourself as a player as well at ACU, making the GSAC championship, two national runs. How did being a part of those big moments as a player yourself in college help you prepare your kids to do something historic like this at Santan Charter?
I just honestly, I instilled a lot of the things that we were taught as a team there. Man, our first year, like, pretty much our whole team transferred in, right? We were older transfers, but we all transferred in, and not a single, you know, nobody knew about us, right? Nobody knew that we were good, we could play, and then we started knocking teams down. We started knocking people off, and we look up, and we're in the GSAC championship, right? We're playing in a GSAC championship. People are like, yo, who is this team, right? And we were all sophomores, freshmen, and juniors. So I don't think we lost one kid that year. And, you know, ultimately we didn't get to the goal that we wanted, but we made the national tournament, which was a huge deal. It had never been done.
Sure.
And the next year kind of brought in some new pieces. It wasn't the year that we could have hoped for, but just the competitive nature in the gym was always there. Like, you know, I tell my boys all the time, I'm like, hey, my college career personally did not work out the way I would have dreamed or envisioned it, but I didn't leave, you know, any stone unturned. Like, I went, I lifted, I worked, like, I competed every day, and where it ended is where it ended. You know, somebody paid for my school, like, and took me beyond where I needed to go, and that was kind of what we, you know, preached and made them go after. Like, yeah, there's competition in here, right? There's always going to be competition. Like, if you get a chance to make it to the next level, like when people will sleep on an ACU because we're not NCAA, right? We're AIA. But I mean, I can throw this out there. We definitely beat NAU my senior year, which is Division I in Arizona. So, you know, we beat them, and I told my boys, like, it doesn't matter. You get to college, like, it's a special thing, and you got to think about it. Everybody was the guy on their team in high school going up. So getting that chance to have that in high school where you have 8 or 9 guys who can really have a chance to go play at that next level and go compete in your high school gym, you know, it only prepares you for bigger things. So I think, you know, being part of those historical runs just kind of, it kept me leveled and really, like, made me think about a lot of things that Coach Rutter taught us over there, and just made me cognizant, made me think about managing egos as much as calling plays and stuff, because there's a lot of egos going into it.
So
everybody
important.
Wants to play. Yeah, everybody wants to play. Everybody wants to be on the court. So that's something that, you know, Rutter had to do with us over there too. So it's something I always thought about with them as I coached them.
That's special, man. And I think one of my favorite things is kind of looking back at the journey of a coach or a player and seeing how it leads them to their end result of what they want to be. And I can totally, totally see that. I love that. Here's my last question I got for you, Coach, and then I'm going to let you get out of here. What do you want to say? There's been a lot of talk about Santan Charter. What do you want to say to all the haters, man? You know, I told you I'd let you come on here and go through some of your receipts. You know, what do you want to say to all the haters, dude? This is your opportunity right now.
I mean, at the end of the day, play us. You know, for everybody who hates and says that we can't do this or can't do that, play us. Like, there's summertime. We'll be at, we're going to come to one of you guys' events. So if anybody in the 2A or 3A or 1A, X6A, it does not matter. Come line it up. Come play us. Right. That goes for even during the season. Some of our other teams, you guys have seen me holler it all the time. The A's do not matter. And mm-hmm. I'm going to stick to it. The A's do not matter. There's talent all over the AIA from the 1A up to the 6A. So we're a 2A school that will play anybody, play us on a freedom game that counts, not just in a tournament. Mm-hmm. Come play us, you know, because that's how we can shut up a lot of talk. It'll quiet a lot of things down, because I know a lot of people had a lot to say. But, you know, at the end of the season, the talk went from they're not that good to, well, why do these kids go to a small school? They can't play at a big. So it's funny. There's always talk. So, you know, it just kind of is what it is. That means we're doing something right. So you keep hating, but as you hate, you just got to play it. You know, just do that and we're good.
You know, I can't believe I'm going to reference Taylor Swift here, but, you know, haters are going to hate, dude. You guys are going to win, and you guys are going to keep taking care of your business, man. And I will say it, you silenced all of the haters, and it was so fun to watch you guys do that throughout the season. Coach, I want to tell you thank you so much for hopping on the podcast one more time, man. It's been fun.
Oh, yeah, no, I appreciate it, and look forward to jumping on the podcast again next year as we're talking about another championship. So
I love it, man. It's the best. I love the confidence, and especially when you can back it up. You know, a lot of you guys, you know, you're listening to this and, you know, maybe you're making some plans just like Coach Coombs is for next season, and you're thinking through, you know, maybe some jerseys or something like that. You know, I got to give my plug here for our awesome partners over at Cloud9 Sports. Head on over to cloud9sports.com. They're going to hook you up with some awesome gear as you get ready for next season. As you plan for big plans, just like Coach Coombs is, you can at least be looking good while you're making those plans happen. Go to cloud9sports.com. Use the promo code all caps SmallBallArmy. You'll get 10% off your purchase. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Arizona Small Ball Podcast, and we will catch you guys next time.